the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh that we should live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For whoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Now you have not received a spirit of bondage, so as to be again in fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by virtue of which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself gives testimony to our spirit that we are sons of God. But if we are sons, we are heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. The gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward who was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, What is this that I hear of thee? Make an account of thy stewardship, for thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, seeing that my master is taking away the stewardship from me? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I shall do, that when I am removed from my stewardship, they shall receive me into their houses. And he summoned each of his master's debtors and said to the first, How much dost thou owe my master? And he said, 100 jars of oil. And he said to him, Take the bond and sit down and at once write 50. And then he said to another, How much dost thou owe? He said, 100 cores of wheat. He said to him, Take thy bond and write 80. And the master commended the unjust steward in that he had acted prudently, for the children of this world, in relation to their own generation, are more prudent than are the children of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourself with the mammon of wickedness, so that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. The fathers of the church, when they comment upon this parable of the unjust steward, they are not unanimous in their interpretation. But my favorite interpretation of the unjust steward, and they're all asking, well, who is the unjust steward? Who does he symbolize? And my favorite interpretation is that the unjust steward is Satan himself. That, of course, the master of the house is God, and Satan was at one time the greatest of his creatures, so he was, in a sense, like the steward of his household. But he was found lacking. And so we see the master of the house saying, you're being removed, but you will have to make an account of yourself, and that account will be at the end of time. So then we see the unjust steward then going around and undermining the master's house and his household and his business. And this parable is given to us to help us to understand how the devil works in tempting us. He goes to the various people who owe the master something, and he says, and he reduces the debt. You do not owe 100, well, we'll just say make it 80. Oh, you don't owe 75, we'll make it 50. He does that with us. He tempts us this way. The devil tempts us this way. He helps us to look at our sins, but then he will say, oh, these over here, these aren't really sins. You are not indebted to God by these actions over here. Oh, certainly these over here, these might be sins, but these over here are not. And this is how he works. And we see this in society, and we can use an example in society today, that certain lifestyles are promoted. I think all the adults understand what I'm saying here. The certain lifestyles are being promoted as being perfectly fine. And so those people who buy into that lie then don't believe that there is anything wrong with what they are doing. And therefore, they're not going to strive to change. They don't feel that anything has to happen. And even Catholics believe this, that these type of actions are not sinful. Oh, certainly other types of things, injustice or these kind of things, might be sinful, but these lifestyle choices, these are perfectly fine. And I think everyone here understands what I'm saying, and we see this in the world today. This is the great temptation. But for us here, we need to look at our own lives, because this also works in our lives. Someone might think, oh, Father, is that really gossip what I'm doing? Yes, that's gossip. When you talk about someone to another person with the intention of destroying their reputation, that's gossip. And that can be a grave sin. Do not fool yourself. There are other types of sins. Drinking too much, getting drunk, or maybe abusing prescription medication. Oh, you know, that prescription painkiller, sometimes just to take one of those helps me to unwind at the end of the day. Sorry, but that's a sin. That's a sin to take that like that. Unless you're taking it for as it's prescribed, as a painkiller. That's the sin of gluttony. So we have the seven capital vices: pride, lust, anger, covetousness or greed, envy, sloth, and gluttony. The seven capital vices. And we should be on guard against this. For this is a common temptation for us to think that something that we do is not sinful. Now, of course, we always have to be careful not to go too far in the other extreme, which is to think everything is sinful, and that, of course, is scrupulosity. In today's world, that's usually not too much of a problem. Usually, it's the other way. People don't think various things are sinful. And we have to be on guard against this. As soon as we fall into this trap, as soon as this occurs, that we think that, oh, I'm fine on this action, then our progress in the spiritual life will stop. I'm going a little beyond the parable here, but it's important for us to remember this, to understand this principle, that God is always drawing us to a deeper spiritual life, a deeper spiritual relationship with Him. So what the epistle is referring to, the fact that God, we cry out, to God as our Father. That is a special relationship He's calling us to. But He's always calling us to something deeper. As soon as we believe that we are okay the way we are, then we stop making progress in the spiritual life. Anyone who thinks that they are perfectly fine as they are spiritually, that there aren't things to work on in their own life, they cease to progress spiritually. And this is not just in reference to sin, although that's what this parable is talking about, because we can look at Our Lady. Our Lady was conceived immaculately from the first moment of her creation. She was free from all stain of sin. But she didn't just remain there. God, throughout her life, called her to something deeper. At the Annunciation, she didn't just remain the Immaculate Conception, He then called her to be what? To be His mother. To be the mother of God. She might not have completely understood it at the time, or she could have. And so at the Annunciation, she then becomes the mother of God. And then our Lord, God, calls her to go deeper than that. She's then called to be the co-redeemer by uniting herself with the sufferings of Christ. Right? After our Lord is born, she has the prophecy of Simeon, where he talks about the suffering she will undergo, which begins with the circumcision and reaches its consummation at the cross, when her heart is pierced by the sword. So then, now she is the co-redeemer. And then after our Lord's ascension, she begins a more mysterious aspect of her life, where she then becomes the advocate, united to the Holy Spirit, to pray for us. Tradition is that she spent 16 years on this earth after our Lord ascended into heaven, and you can be sure that was a very painful separation for her. And during that time, she lived. The tradition is that she prayed. She prayed for the early church. She was at Ephesus. The tradition is that she began the Stations of the Cross and would pray and intercede for us. And so throughout her life, God was calling Our Lady to something deeper, to never remain as she is, but to go something more, to become something more. And so for us, we're all born in sin, of course, and we struggle with sin. We have to remember the spiritual truth also. God is always calling us to something deeper. As soon as we think we're fine as we are, we cease to grow in the spiritual life. And so I'm giving something deeper than what's in the scripture, as I said, that the devil then deceives us by thinking that we're okay in our spiritual life with this sin. As soon as we buy into that, our spiritual life ceases to move forward. Now, it might go backwards or it might not. But until we recognize that sin, we will not move forward. And we can take this also to a deeper level in the sense that the devil deceives us maybe not with sin, but also with an imperfection, that God wants us to let go of something. It might not be something sinful, but he might ask us to let go of something in our life. Why? So that we could then go deeper with him, to have a deeper relationship. And this might be giving up. Just as an example, a job, maybe a lucrative job, which isn't sinful in itself, but God wants the person to then do a different employment, which might not be as materially beneficial, but then will lead them to some deeper relationship with God. And this is how he works. Whenever we become complacent in our life and we think we're fine the way we are, our spiritual life ceases to move forward. So, to get back to the parable, the unjust steward. Our Lord is telling us how the devil will tempt us, and one of the ways he'll tempt us, and the world tempts us this way. But we should not be deceived. We should look to not the unjust steward, but the one who has taken his place. The unjust steward is losing his position, and who replaces him? It is Our Lady. Our Lady is now the highest in the kingdom of heaven. Our Lady is the one, she is now the queen of heaven and earth, and she is now over all the things of God. And so we must look to her and follow her as she moved through the spiritual life, not being satisfied or not just remaining as she is, but became holier as God called her. So we need to do that also, to imitate Our Lady and to become the person that God wants us to be, to get that spiritual deep life that God is calling us to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.